A major development is expected next week in the long-running effort to expand passenger rail service in western Massachusetts. Consultants working for the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, MassDOT, are going to issue a report on three final alternatives for east-west rail. The analysis will be presented at a meeting Wednesday of an advisory committee made up of elected officials and business leaders from western and central Massachusetts. One of the members of the committee is Democratic State Senator Eric Lesser of Longmeadow, a longtime advocate for east-west rail. He spoke with WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill.
Well, all eyes are on MassDOT at the moment as we continue to work with them to move this feasibility study along. We're going to have a major milestone on the calendar, Paul, on September 30th, which is when MassDOT is going to be unveiling three proposals for service based off input from the advisory committee over the last several months. And I can tell you, Paul, this has really been a work in progress here because, you know, MassDOT has really kind of continued to, I think, lowball the ridership estimates, as well as lowball some of the service benefits and the economic benefits of this project. We gave them feedback loud and clear that they needed to take into account realistic estimates of ridership and realistic estimates of how the economy will change in Western Mass and really statewide with this kind of a service. So they've told us that they've taken those comments to heart and that they're going to be briefing us again on September 30th.
So it'll be three proposals down from six, correct? They had six scenarios that they originally announced, and now they've reduced that to three. And then what will happen after that?
Well, so the hope is at that point we're going to be near completion of the study. So, you know, this has really been an effort now 6 years in the making to get MassDOT to take seriously the idea of high-speed passenger service statewide from Pittsfield through Springfield to Boston and vice versa. They're going to hopefully now finalize three options for service. They'll complete their feasibility study. At that point, the state will have a full feasibility analysis of these options, and then the work will begin of marshaling the support we need financially, both from the state and federal government.
So it will be up to elected officials such as yourself and the Baker administration to decide which of these options moves forward?
Correct. The state, or our understanding, is that MassDOT is going to present these three options at this meeting on September 30th. They're then going to finalize the report. The report will make some recommendations about the best options for service. And at that point, you know, the hard work begins of getting the money and continuing to build the political support we need to put shovels in the ground and make this project a reality.
How has the pandemic changed the outlook for east-west rail, and is that being considered in this study somehow?
Well, certainly, you know, on a just practical level, the committee had been meeting fairly regularly. The pandemic hit, and that disrupted things, like it disrupted everything. So, you know, just on a kind of operational level, some of the work they were doing got delayed. But on a broader level, you know, frankly, I think that the pandemic makes this project even more urgent for a few reasons. Number one, we are in a deep economic crisis. We have mass job losses. And frankly, the economy is going to take a very long time to fully recover from what we've experienced. In previous times in American history, when we faced comparable economic crises, the country has united behind infrastructure and has understood that investing in infrastructure is essential to recovery. I'd point out at the depths of the Great Depression, America built 800 airports at a time when few Americans had ever even been on an airplane. We built 78,000 bridges in this country, including the Bourne and Sagamore bridges in Massachusetts at the height of the Great Depression. So times are tough. They're going to be tough for the foreseeable future. That makes this project even more urgent. It would create thousands of jobs virtually overnight. It would inject billions of dollars into the local economy at a time when we desperately need it. And it would invest in our future, and it would give everybody hopefulness for the future that's in front of us. The other thing I would say is, in addition to the economic need for this infrastructure investment, the nature of work is changing. And I think what we've seen with the pandemic, the move to remote work, the move to Zoom and other platforms for getting work done, means that, you know, Western Mass has become an increasingly attractive place for people to locate, for people to start businesses, for people to buy homes, build their families. And so you could envision a future where people can use Zoom, they can work remotely for kind of day-to-day routine work they need to get done, but they can easily get on a train and get to Boston, get on a train, get to New York City for in-person meetings or other engagements that they might need to do their work. Now, all of a sudden, we've opened the Western Mass economy to the whole world because we've created connectivity virtually through internet access, and we'll create it physically through train access.
Let's shift attention to the east, where on Beacon Hill, the legislature remains in session. Now, ordinarily, there would be no formal sessions held in an even-numbered year after July, but the legislature voted to change its rules because of the pandemic and has extended the formal session, the end of formal session deadline into early January. So what legislation is still pending? What's the status of some of the major bills?
We are meeting. The legislature they've had informals this week. We have multiple conference committees ongoing around a host of issues: healthcare, economic development, the environment. So those criminal justice, of course, the police reform bill. So those conference committees are meeting. That work is ongoing. My hope is that in the near future, we'll see progress on all of them. And we also have a state budget, which needs to get done both for FY21, which we're currently in, and the preparation needs to begin now, of course, for the FY22 budget. So right now, the state is operating off of a continuing budget of a few months that gets us through October 31st. I think that was the right decision to make because there was, again, a lot of uncertainty about the state's revenue during the pandemic. We've actually gotten some cautiously good news for August in terms of revenue collections, which will allow us to hopefully make a budget in the next several weeks or next several months that can keep, you know, frankly, make the best out of a very difficult situation. But the whole situation on Beacon Hill is, of course, very different than it normally is. Normally, in an even-numbered year like this, there would not be meetings really at all.